It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack out today. He is out. Jack out. He will be in tomorrow as the Fritz versus DeCamera 3 happens tomorrow. We'll have more info on that for you in about a half an hour. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Is this series against the Mets bigger than just a regular season series? 67.5% say yes. Joining us now, it's always big. Well, we have Elliot Shore Parks on. Hey, Elliot.
That's exactly right.
I've got a few of them today, man. None of them on purpose.
Off the chain,
also,
man.
isn't it Fritz versus DeCamera 4 because Jack is losing 2-1?
You're right. You're right. I didn't have it written down in front of me, and I screwed it up.
Look at Elliot.
Because he's down 2-1.
I hear that. It sounds like some joy. Some joy.
Got to motivate him a little bit. Taking off the day before the race. I don't love that.
Well, in fairness to him.
What is he doing today?
But the date was flexible. He just wanted to steal a day before Labor Day happens, and he was originally going to take off a couple of days.
I'm just saying he better be stretching.
He's not.
Yeah, practicing. Yeah.
He's not.
Is he drinking beer all day today?
Can I be honest with you on this? And yes. Then we'll get to the Eagles stuff. I think Jack has accepted if he loses, he loses.
Oh, my God.
He's a bum.
I do.
Wow. Justin.
Yeah, relax over there.
Wow. I just noticed that.
Yeah, relax. I just think he's gotten to I'm psychoanalyzing him without him here. Uh-huh. But I know Jack, I feel like, as well as anybody who's not his family. And I think when I'm looking at Jack, I think he just wants it to be over already. That's sort of where I think Jack is. Now, Jack is a better physical athlete than Joe. Jack should be able to win the race. But, who knows at this point, you know?
What is his beer? What does he drink?
He's a Miller Lite guy.
Miller Lite guy, yeah. I don't need him drinking Miller Lite all day today.
Well, he could do a couple of Miller Lites.
Okay.
But he can be an IPA guy every once in a while. We don't need the extra calories today, you know? Do you think you think he's going to beat him in the race, though? Right?
He better.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say is when you leave it up to this. I mean, he could trip. He could pull his hand.
Anything could happen.
At this point where he's led it to that. And as to him kind of not really caring, I almost think he's already experienced what it would feel like to lose. So I don't know if actually losing will feel that much different. Like I think the golf thing, the tennis thing. Like I think. He's probably already experienced it to a point where
it can't get any worse.
The golf crushed him.
Well, but if he does,
he accepted the loss in tennis.
Let's say he loses. I'll just say it now. By the way, tomorrow 11:30 a.m. Glen Mills School. That's where it'll be. But it's going to be 2 minutes long, as most Jack and Joe things are. So I wouldn't plan your day around it. We're working on getting it on YouTube, all that kind of stuff. But tomorrow, 11:30, Glen Mills School. The assuming he wins the race, losing in basketball would be embarrassing in a way that losing in tennis was not.
Oh, for sure.
Do you know what I mean? Because that is a physical... tennis is a physical sport, but it's not...
Dude, he cannot lose to Joe DeCamera in basketball.
He can't. He can't.
Not come back to this show.
What's that?
Had he lost a month ago, I do think he's benefited from this being stretched, right?
Yes.
Because if he loses in 2 weeks, it'll be Eagles season. The Phillies will be collapsing again. Like, it'll just be different. So I feel like now, he knows it'll be under the radar.
Well, and then we will get to the Eagles. Last thing. I just want to, if Jack is listening, for anyone listening, I want you to prepare yourself for this. If he loses in basketball, I do not care what the Eagles are doing. I am spending a day. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if they beat the Cowboys 75-0. I don't care if they lose 75-0.
Rod may care.
Yeah, well, Rod, I'm telling you right now, if Fritz loses to DeCamera in basketball, that is what I'm talking about that day. I'm breaking down every point, and I've said to Jack, if you play defense in an aggressive way, Joe can't win the basketball.
Right.
It's about defense. Anyway. All right, Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles. The Eagles made a trade for a quarterback. They trade a fifth-round pick and a seventh-round pick for a sixth-round pick and Sam Howell. We all remember Sam Howell because he had the two greatest games of his career against us. What do you think the trade says about Tanner McKee, says about Kyle McCord? What do you think this trade's all about?
So I definitely think this is mostly because of the injury to Tanner McKee. I think if McKee didn't suffer that finger injury, this is probably not a trade that happens. I don't think Tanner is going to be ready for week one. And because of that, I think they did not want, obviously, Kyle McCord to be the backup. They've cut Kyle McCord, which clearly tells you what they think about him in terms of a willingness to expose him to waivers. So I do think this is about Tanner McKee. But there's also, I think, a part of it that is, Sam Howell is a really good backup quarterback. I actually think he is, in some ways, a better backup quarterback than Tanner McKee. Now, in this exact situation, Tanner's been here for 2 years, so I think that's an advantage. But Tanner's never played meaningful snaps in the NFL. Sam Howell has thrown for almost 4,000 yards in a season. He started 18 games. Like, he's played in primetime games. I think there is a lot of benefit to having some kind of proven quarterback behind Jalen on the roster. So I really like the trade. They didn't give up like nothing. Like, a fifth and a seventh isn't nothing. But when you're 32nd in the waiver wire, you have to give up sometimes a little more than you want, because otherwise that player is not going to get to you at 32. So I really like the trade for him.
Yeah, the truth is he was going to get cut.
Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell was going
to
get cut.
They wouldn't have been able to claim him.
Right.
Right, because somebody else could have grabbed him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you pay a bit of a premium. But I think he is a better backup quarterback for them, definitely than Kyle McCord and arguably Tanner McKee.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as much as I like Tanner McKee and his potential, he does not have the experience that Sam Howell has.
Sure.
So Elliot's right when it comes to that Sam Howell has at least played in a season's worth of games and sort of been under a little bit of a spotlight being that guy.
Now, Sam Howell does the one thing that Elliot finds unacceptable is, I think Sam Howell threw a ton of interceptions that year, right?
21 interceptions.
6 foot quarterback, right?
Yeah, I think he's on the shorter side as well.
Yeah.
Don't like the interceptions for sure.
Well, and you would expect they expose Kyle McCord to waivers, but he's a fifth round pick. I mean, I would assume he clears waivers, he ends up on the practice squad. That is what I think they would expect to happen, right?
Yeah, so I would expect he probably does. I would think Howie made this cut probably assuming that he had enough information or hoping that Kyle McCord will make it through waivers. Now, he was a six-round pick, you're right, but he is a quarterback. He played, you know, at a high-level program, at least initially, and then was really good at Syracuse. So I wouldn't completely rule out him getting claimed. And I get it, like, it's a six-round pick. It's not the end of the world. But I do think it's a very disappointing result. Like, this is somebody, a quarterback, that they scouted for a long time. Scott Loeffler, the quarterback coach, has had a relationship with Kyle McCord for a long time. I know the kind of assumption amongst everybody is, well, he wasn't that good in training camp and preseason.
Well, you saw him. Is that different?
Yeah, so I don't think that's completely fair.
Okay.
Like, he probably got maybe 10 reps of practice, if that, and most of them were the developmental reps. I to me, watching him, I think he has an NFL arm. Like, I think he definitely has a really strong arm that can make all the throws. So, clearly, they, you know, not liked what they saw by cutting him, but to cut a rookie before the beginning of the season, I just think that's a disappointing result. And we'll see what the other cuts are. Like, Cam Williams out of Texas, I think he's very much on the bubble. Antoine Powell-Ryland, who is also a late-round pick, he's on the bubble. I know when you make 10 picks and you have a good roster, they're not all going to make it. But for them not to make it into the season, I think would definitely be disappointing.
Well, and they're in a tough spot with McCord unless they love him. Because if you can't have him be the backup in the first couple of games if McKee can't play. You just can't. And so they needed somebody, and then you're in a roster crunch where what are you going to do? You're going to keep, you know, four quarterbacks on the roster. That's the only way that Kyle McCord doesn't get cut and end up on the practice squad here.
They could have put Tanner McKee on IR, and then he would miss the first four games. So obviously they don't view this injury as serious enough to do that. You could make the argument if you really liked Kyle McCord, maybe you just kind of forfeit the first four games with McKee. You have Sam Howell, and then you figure it out from there. But obviously, by exposing the waivers, they're letting you know to a certain degree how they feel about Kyle McCord. But if he's back on the practice squad, then no harm, no foul. But if he's gone, that's disappointing.
And last thing here, it seems like an obvious thing. One of the reasons you would feel confident he doesn't, or you hope they doesn't get claimed, is some other team has to be able to put him on their active roster.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
So all the other teams are facing the same sort of issues that we are right now. Eagles make another trade, and they trade for a familiar face in Fred Johnson, who they could have had for a league minimum salary.
That's got to be a family name, too, by the way.
Fred Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds fake.
No way this kid was born in the 2000s.
It's with Fred. Fred. Yeah. He was fine last year, right? I guess
that was a side topic. I'm just saying. I hear Fred Johnson.
You're like, come on, man.
Like, how old is this guy?
Fred?
Scooby-Doo character.
Yeah. Okay.
I would guess this says more about what they think of their offensive line depth more than anything else.
Yeah, their offensive line backups were not good, in my opinion, throughout training camp. And I think it was especially clear in the preseason. Like, I thought the quarterbacks didn't have a lot of time to work in those preseason games. And you could just tell in camp the way they were trying players at all types of positions that nobody was really finding their home where they wanted them to be. So Fred Johnson only signed for $1.3 million this offseason. I think there is probably some fair criticism there with why not just sign him to that initially. Now, maybe they thought someone would be there in the draft. Maybe they thought they would have another free agent. Like, maybe Fred wanted to go to Jacksonville for a chance to start. But ultimately, I think they deserve some credit for, to a certain degree, not admitting a mistake, but, you know, going and getting the guy that could have signed initially, bringing somebody back, very cheap price. Now, Fred Johnson was good last year. I also think it's worth noting he gave up. He was like 15th in the league in total pressures allowed. So he did allow a lot of pressure. But for a backup tackle, like, that's just what it is. There's not even, 64 good tackles in the NFL, let alone enough for teams to have good backup ones. So I think it's a smart trade. And I also think it kind of makes the backup offensive line clear. Fred Johnson will be the backup at both tackle spots. You'll have Matt Pryor at both guard spots, who can also play tackle if needed, and then you have Drew Kendall, the rookie, that can play center. So this really does kind of make all the puzzle pieces fit.
And they cut Kenyon Green, and they trade Darian Kennard, who was on the team last year.
Yeah, so Kenyon Green, I think also disappointing that this happened. We'll see if they get him to practice squad. I think they traded Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just to trade Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I don't think they traded him to acquire Kenyon Green. But he's still the player that they traded Chauncey for. We've talked throughout training camp about how that second safety spot is a question. So to, trade Chauncey and get a player back that you cut, that's obviously not the outcome they wanted. So, yeah, that's not good. And then Darian Kennard, you get a six-round pick for him, which I actually think is a good return. Like, they might have cut him anyway. A six-round pick at this time of the year is not nothing. So I think that's a good trade. But the Kenyon thing has not worked out yet. We'll see if he's back on the practice squad, but obviously as of now, that trade's not looking great.
I always love when I see this, Ike.
I'm going to just say this.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on right now with the team.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of, how can I put this? Fluidity as far as the offense looking good, defense looking good. I got more question marks than I do answers. And I'm just saying, we may need to be prepared for a slow start. I'm just saying.
Thank God you're saying it.
Because it's hard for me to imagine, E. They got basically a week and a half to get ready for the Cowboys next week. Now, thank God we're playing America's greatest soap opera in the Dallas Cowboys. There's no cohesion going on that side for those guys. That may be the one saving grace we have with this opening game. Because if that was a quiet opponent we were facing that was locked in on coming in to knock off the defending champs, I'd be a little concerned. We haven't had a lot of on-field time together offensively.
Right. AJ hasn't practiced at all.
Jalen's been there, but AJ basically hasn't practiced all camp. Devontae's been in and out. We got offensive linemen shuffling. Defensively, we'll find out opening night who's starting where with everybody and what the rotation looks like. And up front, on the outside, I don't even know what we have in our outside guys as pass rushers. I'm just saying, I'm expecting this thing to sort of have to come together over time. I don't know if we're going to hit the ground running and clicking on all cylinders early.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the injuries themselves in camp, I don't think are concerning in the way that they won't play in week one.
Right.
But having been there every day in camp, I would guess that the 11 players on offense, 11 players on defense that will play the majority of snaps in week one had to have taken less than like 75 snaps together in training camp just because of the timing of when everyone was out, not knowing the starters on defense. So you're right. Like, I don't think the first four games of the season are about style points to me. Like, if they just can go 2-2, I would sign up for that right now. If you just tell me they would go 2-2, you know, and not like have this thing kind of crater at the beginning, mm-hmm. I would take that. The concern is it is a very tough four games. And last year we saw they were able to rebound from 2-2, but they were also like very close to 1-3. Now you could say the Falcons game, they almost won. Like, you could go back and forth, but they were walking on thin ice those yeah. first four games of the season. And luckily they rebounded. So this year though, Dallas, Kansas City, the Rams, Tampa, like, those are all really hard games in my opinion. So they're a good team. They have a lot of talent, but the concern is if you slip early and you're 1-3, you never, like, that's almost impossible to rebound from. So I do think the lack of cohesion is concerning going into the season.
So when are the final cuts due? It's tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow at 4:00. So we'll all be together from 3 to 4. Yeah.
So is there any?
How many have they made already? Have they?
So I think they're at like 5 or 6.
Okay.
I have the list, but it's probably not. We've talked about the ones you
sure.
guys would probably know.
Yep.
It's most guys that are at the bottom of the roster, yeah.
So Lewis Cine got cut too, right? Or is he
Oh, yeah,
hurt?
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he got waived, yeah.
Is there, you know, a name or two of a surprise that you think could get cut and a name or two that might be surprising that you think might make the team?
So the name I would keep an eye on, and not for a cut, but I think could be traded, is Kelee Ringo. He didn't practice in the last day of practice. He didn't take first team reps those last few days of practice.
Mm.
He's a great special teams player, which I think will help him. But if you look at the cornerback spot, if they keep Kelee, they're probably keeping 6 corners. And that's a lot of corners, especially if, you know, some of them aren't playing special teams. So I would look for a potential Kelee trade as the surprise move. In terms of a surprise player who could make the roster, I mean, I don't know if Darius Cooper would qualify at this point.
Nah.
I feel like, yeah.
You almost expect him to make the roster now.
I mean, the truth is the bottom of the roster is just not great. So I could give you, like, again, Cam Williams out of Texas. I have him on my roster. I think that's a bit of a surprise. He's a tackle that has good athleticism. He was viewed as coming out of the draft early. But the reason it's noteworthy, and you guys talked to Lane last week, I thought it was a really good interview when he talked about, like, pretty openly, maybe he might retire in a year. So I do think there is an advantage to holding young tackles on the roster and trying to develop them for potentially next year.
All right, Elliot, you can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast, comes out every day. It is a must listen. And Elliot, we will see you tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Yep. See you
all
guys tomorrow.
Right. All right,
bro. Elliot Shore-Parks. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we didn't talk about that allowed the Vikings to get rid of Sam Howell is the Vikings have signed Carson Wentz, which is a good spot for the Bronco, I think, with a quarterback whisperer there, you know, who was able to revive the career of Sam Darnold. Remember, Daniel Jones could have gone to a bunch of different places. He chose to go there because of the work they do with quarterbacks. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
With Tanner McKee out, who is a better backup quarterback, Sam Howell or Carson Wentz?
Oh, well, Wentz. Yeah, there's no way it can happen. Yeah, no way. Yeah, there's no way.
I'm just looking at that. I'm like, why are we getting the worst of the two?
Man. Well, I'm glad the Eagles have some self-awareness. Yeah, I'm glad they aren't totally tone deaf. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah. Can you imagine the show we could have done today?
Yes.
Fritz might have come back.
He definitely would have come off vacation.
Yeah.
He definitely would have come off vacation to be here today. Yeah, I don't know if we could have handled that.
No. I'll tell you the other thing. Wentz has a chance to play in Minnesota. I like, if you look at the reports out of Minnesota, I don't think J.J. McCarthy's had the greatest camp ever there. And remember, he's coming off an injury, too.
Which is probably why they went to a veteran.
Yes.
Like Wentz as a backup, because they kind of feel like, if it gets too bad, we got to have somebody to go to.
And by the way, they were impressed enough after they just brought him in for a workout, and they decided he was better off than Howell
Sam
was.
Sam Howell, who had been there the entire
been there.
Time. Yeah.
I think Wentz has a chance to play there, and as not a Carson guy, one of the
Deep down, you're a Wentz guy.
I'm not a Wentz guy.
You're a Wentz guy. Deep down,
not at all a Wentz guy. But at this point, I am. No. I'm rooting for him, and I think it is a good spot for him specifically, just because of the infrastructure of the Vikings.
Now, I reserve the right to take back the fact that I was wrong last week when I said I was wrong about Wentz.
Oh well, it wouldn't be the first time you had changed your mind on something like that.
I reserve the right to change my mind.
Well, you didn't say you didn't like him. You know,
no,
you
exactly,
just said you were wrong about, and maybe all that stuff has changed about him. You know, he's been humbled.
Appreciate you.
He's been humbled. Yeah, you could have been wrong about that, and he could still change. And you know, all right. So coming up next,
right? Hang in there, Bronco.
Yeah. Hang in there.
Hang in there.
Let the Bronco bust.
215-592-9494.
I didn't know I had a Wentz hater on the boards. I'm used to Fritz as a Wentz lover.
Oh, are you a Wentz hater?
Shot a lot of ducks.
I'm not a Wentz guy.
Okay.
No.
All right.
You have to think of it this way, though. Like the first like real successful era of Eagles football that I remember, because I don't remember Donovan.
Oh, it's Carson.
Was Carson. So then Carson himself.
Donovan, how old is
he? I'm 25.
Jesus.
Like, I really don't remember those
games.
We're
old, man.
The first Eagles quarterback I truly remember is Michael Vick.
Okay.
Dude, I mean, that's a long time ago.
So the first, successful.
Yeah, you're not reminding me, Spike. I know it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know.
The first, successful.
Been a couple of Super Bowls since then.
It's Carson, and then Carson forces his way out. So, of course, I don't really like him.
Yes. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, you can grow up, though, and have your own thoughts.
That is my own thought. When he left, I cried. When they traded him, I literally cried.
Oh,
and then the way he handled himself.
Poisoned your mind.
No, the way he handled himself after he left, I just didn't like it.
All right. All right.
He poisoned my mind.
Oh, there we go.
The way he talked about, the way he kind of just like let everything go and went to Indianapolis and kind of threw Doug under the rug and all these things under the rug, forced his way out of here, didn't want to compete with Jalen. I didn't like it. It was soft.
For a second
overall pick to have that mentality, it was soft.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let the Broncos.
You understood that as an adolescent.
And I still understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if you want to talk soft, the fake concussion. He pulled himself out of the game. I'm like, that's just me talking.
Fake concussion?
Yeah, wow.
Are you talking about Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't literally get hit in the back of the head.
Pulled himself out of the game.
Did he really pull himself out of the game?
I mean,
actually, Josh McCown had.
All right. Coming up next, ESPN comes up with an idea for the Eagles to trade for a superstar edge rusher. And we will give you all of the details for Jack's race tomorrow if you want to go see him win. And we'll get back to our conversation about Bryce or lose. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. She makes my heart sing. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. So, coming up tomorrow, you see, on the podcast version, they're just going to hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, that it spooked me, you know, listening to it. I was like,
I gotta stop singing.
Well, I do a lot of singing, too.
Right.
You know, it's like, doesn't sound quite as good with the real one behind
you. You should listen to 530 Creed on the podcast version.
Oh, is that the same?
That just you.
Oh,
it's just you.
Goodness gracious. So coming up tomorrow, Jack Fritz not here today, but coming up tomorrow, Jack will be here, and it will be after Fritz to Camera 4. So the running is tomorrow. It happens 11:30 a.m. Glen Mills School. By the way, I grew up in Glen Mills. It's Delaware County. It now, the Delco people will debate whether it's true Delco. We could go through the levels of Delco. It is Delco. It's not Delco, but it's Delco. So 11:30 a.m., Glen Mills School, Fritz versus DeCamera. I would say, you know, the baseball was a longer sort of thing to go and watch. So was tennis. 400 meters, even with these slow guys, it's going to be over in 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. So, you know, 3 minutes if they're slow. I would like to think that this is a lock for Jack. But when this whole thing started, I thought a lot of these things were a lock for Jack. I thought golf was a lock for Jack, and we knew it wasn't after the first hole, which, by the way, they tied. But you and I looked at each other, and we were like, uh-oh. tennis, I did not think was a lock for Jack. I thought Jack took that too easy. generally, I would look at the two. I would look at how Joe runs with his crotch first, that weird sort of, it runs like a giant is holding his shoulders back or something. It's the strangest form I've ever seen. And we know Jack has run an 8-minute mile, which is not easy to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you know, world record speed, but it's not easy. I would like to think this is an easy win for Jack, but who knows?
And listen, it's a 400...
400 meters.
Yes,
once around the lap.
Anything can happen.
Yes. Like Elliot said, he could trip.
Yep.
He could get a bad start. He could pull a hammy.
Pull a hammy.
You know, which is why he should have been training a little bit for this.
Hydrate. I hope he's... I'm going to text him and make sure he's hydrating.
Yes, hydrate.
With water.
With water. Now, it could be outside. It could be inside. I've been told Glen Mills School has an outside track that is 400 meters, has an inside track that is 200 meters. So, you know, I don't know. This is, it's really big because if Jack doesn't win this, like, you have the basketball, I guess, because we wanted it, but what a pathetic showing the basketball will
be. Yeah, because now Joe's not going to actually put forth,
well, because
he's
Jack,
not gonna put forth the effort
yeah,
in basketball.
Yeah, Jack, well, if Jack loses tomorrow, he loses. I never thought we'd be in this situation. I just didn't. I didn't think we'd be in this situation. I know he doesn't care anymore or whatever, but yeah. I care. And you care, right?
No, definitely, of course I care.
Okay.
Kidding me? Reputation's on the line.
I'm 49 with an artificial hip, and I should be able to beat Joe DiCamera in a 400-meter race.
Yes.
I actually think I probably could.
I think you could.
Jack should win this tomorrow. So it is tomorrow, 11:30. We will be on afterwards to talk about it, to give the rundown. Won't be the sort of analysis that you normally get because it's just once around the track. You know, I was trying to figure out a way to make it fair that one, you know, because if you're a little bit on the inside, you have a little bit of an advantage. I suggested to Rod, maybe they run in opposite directions. Might be funny. But so tomorrow, 11:30 at Glen Mills School. 215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP. What's up, OG? He's becoming a problem. Jeff in Delaware, you're on WIP. What's up, Jeff? Is this me or is it them? Jeff in Delaware.
Justin, are they there?
Yeah. Let's try one more. How about Brian in Virginia? You're on WIP.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
There we go.
Hey, before I get to my Bryce, good, great point. I got an Eagles thing.
Yeah.
I need some help.
Yeah.
You guys helped me out in the past with my ovation idea. Jack got that going. Spike, I sent you the audio of Wechter giving me credit for that in your email. Look for that thing and play it. Don't give the camera any credit for any of this stuff.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You sent it to my Odyssey email or my Gmail?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, the Odyssey one, yeah.
Okay, and it's you suggesting the standing ovation for
Wechter has the clip of it, and he dates it and times it and says, this was the guy with the original call. Anyways.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you got it. I said, I don't want the camera getting any credit.
Wait. So just for a moment here. Were DiCamera and Richie reacting to your idea in that clip we heard, or no?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not positive on that.
All right. We'll have to do some more investigating. But anyway, continue.
Next idea. This one will go on in infamy. So, obviously, Saquon's reverse hurdle. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. Played football, watched football our whole lives. Never seen anything like that. Rick Barry, boring logo of the NBA. How about we get the reverse hurdle in the center of the crest?
Well, Rick Barry is not the logo of the NBA. Jerry West is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I apologize. You're right. It is Jerry West. My bad.
Yeah. So you want the Saquon reverse hurdle to be what? In the middle of the football field?
Yeah. No, the middle of the NFL logo, the crest of the logo.
Oh.
Like you said, Rick Barry, his boring jumper is in the NBA.
Nope.
But
Jerry West.
Jerry West.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize again.
Know what? Saquon, the shield is pretty legendary. I don't think they're going to change the shield.
No.
But the Saquon reverse hurdle is almost like, I hope it doesn't get forgotten.
No.
Here's
I don't see how it can.
Here's my thing, is that the 25 years ago, when we weren't inundated with highlights online constantly, I think the big moments lasted longer because we weren't looking at the moment.
How long did the catch last? The catch lasted 25 years, Dwight Clark, in the back of the end zone.
Or even the dunking from the free throw line, whether it's
immaculate
Dr. J.
Immaculate reception.
These things that happen now, it's almost like, you know, I thought of it when I was watching the Phillies game the other day, and the center fielder for the Nationals made two outrageous plays. And we're so used to the plays they make now. But think about how long the Willie Mays catch. We might watch five catches like that a day in Major League Baseball.
A dozen now.
So I think the thing working against it is, I think if the Saquon reverse hurdle had happened in 1996, it would have had a run that is outrageous. In 2025, it's hard for any one play to have that sort of...
I gotta tell you.
What?
Unless somebody else tries that... We had never seen that before, so I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, because you would have to see it frequently for it not to have the same impact on you.
You've watched, played football your entire. You've never seen.
I've never seen that before. Yeah, I never even seen anything close to that.
I think the way I think about it though is that it's not that will be forgotten. It's that we're looking at so much all the time that we just don't think about one play.
We won't romanticize it.
Yes.
The same way. Right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But this way, you never forget it. Put it in the middle of the logo.
They're not doing that.
Yeah, not doing that.
That's one thing. I'm gonna tell you one thing. The NFL is big on. It's them, not us. In other words, rarely see a player that signifies the NFL. It's normally the shield.
It's about the collective.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
Yeah. I know.
Brian, did you have something on Bryce before we let you go?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you with the very good. With injuries, I just can't put him on that great. He's only broken 100 RBIs twice. And since he's been with the Phils, I think Schwarber's one of the Phils. Schwarber's got like 90 more bombs than him.
No, I don't think that's right.
Yeah,
that might be right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That might be right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, since Schwarber's been here,
not total Phillies home runs.
Totally,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. Since they've been teammates, he's got 86 more home runs than him.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Brian, what's a great housewarming gift?
You know what? I got to stick with the furry theme and go with some his and her robes.
There you go.
All right. Thank you for the call. I've never used a robe. I've always wanted to be a robe guy.
Right.
I just don't know when to. I'm not gonna walk around my house in a robe.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
I've tried it.
You tried being a robe guy?
I've tried being a robe guy because they get you a robe for Christmas.
Yes.
You got to wear it at least one year.
It's a nice robe.
Yeah, it's a nice robe. It's velvet. It feels good. It's not Versace like you see some of these people with Versace on.
Yep.
Although I wouldn't even want a Versace robe. Either way, I'm with you. I'm more of a shorts t-shirt guy around the house. I'm not really wearing a robe around the house.
Well, what do you put on under the robe? Like, is it just underwear or do you have to put on something under the robe?
That's the thing. Me, I would have something on under the robe. I would have shorts on and a t-shirt on under the robe.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, and then at that point, you just want to wear shorts and a t-shirt except for the,
You know,
I love the idea of a robe.
You know, Tony Soprano, you know, you've never seen The Sopranos.
I have not.
Famous for walking around in his robe with his t-shirt and his tank top on and underwear. That's how he went out to the mailbox in the morning to pick up the mail.
You know what I think I might do? I might get a robe just to get the mail in it so people around the neighborhood talk about.
But he would walk out there without it tied up.
Oh, okay.
He would just walk out there with just showing himself out there, Yeah, we don't need that. He may be a reason why most men don't wear robes anymore.
215-592-9494. You can't get a robe at Dogs and Cats Rule, but... truth be told, you don't need a robe for your dog or for your cat. What you do need is you want the right sort of stuff to feed your dog or your cat. And I know if you're like me, you've gone online, you Googled the heck out of stuff, and you still don't have an answer. The great thing about Dogs and Cats Rule is not only do they have the best stuff to feed your pets, your dogs, your cats, but they have the staff there to tell you what the right products for your specific pet is. And as I've said this a million times, your dog or your cat can't shop for themselves. It's up to you. And the staff at Dogs and Cats Rule, they are patient, they are informed, and you're going to walk out of there not only with the right product, but feeling good about what you've got. That's what the lead dog, George Perrini, has done with all 7 locations. As I mentioned, cutting edge with pet nutrition, but whether you need supplements, whether you need toys, whether you need treats, a collar, leash, whatever it is, Dogs and Cats Rule has it. 7 locations, as I said, 2 in Jersey, Pennington and Princeton, 5 in Pennsylvania, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, and Bluebell. Dogsandcatsrule.pet is the website. Dogs and Cats Rule, shop small, shop local, shop family. The thing with Bryce is, there is like this sensitivity about him every time. It really is just like a different standard and that we have for him than we have for the other stars in town. And I know the sport is different. I'm aware that baseball is not the same as football is, as basketball is. However, for me to say that I want him to be great in this series when the best pitcher on the team, debatably the best player on the team, and Zach Wheeler goes down, and they have a chance to put their division rivals away when everybody else has stepped up, like everybody else in this time has stepped up, I just don't think is crazy. And I think this sort of protection thing we do with Bryce is...
Which, by the way, I don't think we do... We do it with Jalen a little bit.
A little.
We do it with Jalen a little bit. It's starting to become more.
Yeah.
Especially since Super Bowl MVP.
Yes. But again, and I don't use this. He is Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, at least he has that.
He's Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of people, and Elliot does this with me, like sort of shuts down my argument and says, he was Super Bowl MVP. And there's not a lot you can say to somebody who was Super Bowl MVP, you know? Bryce... It is not World Series MVP. He's not NL. You know, like, he just, like, I just think that it's okay. I just want to tell you, the listener, it's okay to say that you expect the best from the greatest.
Yeah.
And that is what I expect from him in this series.
Yeah, so here's what I think. Maybe where the disconnect is there is that I think the perception is, and I think it's fair and it's legit. The effort is there from Bryce.
Sure.
In other words, he's not failing on purpose, right? Like he's putting forth the effort. He wants to come through. He's not running from the moment. It just doesn't happen all the time. And we've seen him have the moments in the past.
A while ago. Yes, I agree. Yeah. And
I'm just saying that's why you may not get the reaction to him that you would think you would want going into a series like this. I don't know if most fans come into this saying, well, I need Bryce to step up and do his part or carry us through this series.
I just think at this time, with that guy gone, it's just like, if not now, when? Mm-hmm. And I know we can look at the playoffs, but what I don't want to do is go through another playoffs where his stats look good and he comes up not big in a big moment, and we all just go back and look at the stats, because you know what that sounds like? It sounds like the way I talked about Embiid for years.
Sure.
Is that you could go through a playoff series and say that, okay, Joel failed in game 6 and game 7 against the Boston Celtics. But I go back and I go, but look at the stats. When he was on the court, they outscored the Celtics by this, and when he was off the court, and at the end of the day, those stats don't mean anything if you don't do it when it matters.
You do know he can go 3 for 4 and they still can lose.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
100%. Absolutely. And I said that, look, they, you know, Christopher Sanchez tonight lets 7 runs up. What are you going to do? But I do think, like, I want a series where he stands out. We've had series where Schwarber stands out.
I don't think that's unfair to ask.
You know, we have series where Trey stands out, where Schwarber, I want a series where Bryce stands out, and I want it to be this one.
Well, and we all have been waiting, whether we say it out loud or not. You know, I'd like to tell you, this is taking people behind the curtain. Spike is the guy who says what no one else is willing to say, right? When you're being critical of our stars in town. We've all watched this season with the Phillies, and we've watched Bryce this season, whether it was due to injuries or the inconsistency being in the lineup and him trying to find his rhythm. We have not had a real Bryce run as a player. We've had the Schwarber run. We've had the Kyle Tucker. Trey Turner run. We've
JT had his run.
JT has been on the run for 2.5 months now as the best hitting catcher in baseball. Bryce hasn't had a run.
And you know what
he hasn't had a run.
You get the, well, since the All-Star break, here are his stats. And I know, like, I get it, but everybody who's watched it...
We know it, yeah.
...knows how it feels different.
Yeah.
Everybody who's watched it, if you watch every game of the Phillies, you know that there have been at-bats where you're like, ooh, Bryce could do something here, and
yeah.
It doesn't happen. Overall, numbers fine. Actually had what I thought was a pretty big single in one of the Nationals games, but overall, just that, oh my God, I can't believe he's on my team.
Yeah.
Moment. And we haven't had that run this year.
And you're asking for it now in this big series.
I think it's a huge series, too, by the way.
I'm with you.
Like,
you could bury the Mets this series.
Division be damned. How good would you feel? You walk out of Citi Field on Wednesday, and not only is it a 10-game lead on the division, but you've swept the Mets in Citi Field. And you could end them. And I don't.
I'm excited about tonight.
Yeah, I don't.
Sanchez on the mound. Right?
Sanchez versus Kodai Senga,
yeah.
Who's had a pretty good year, and a guy, by the way, we should have hit last year. 215-592-94.
Deck night, a cigar and a deck night tonight.
Oh yeah,
oh, man.
There you go. Well, I don't have my TV on the deck though. You got a deck TV?
No.
Oh, you do the iPad?
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Maybe I'll sit on the deck with the iPad.
There you go.
There you go.
Get the speaker out there with it. The boom speaker.
No cigar though. I'm not a cigar guy.
No, you're not.
Yeah, Big V in Mount Laurel. You're on WIP. What's up, Big V?
Wow, we broke the fast. Hey, it's been some months, guys. How have you been?
What's up, Big V?
Yeah, where the hell you been at, Big V?
Oh, right. I've been calling and been holding for hours, and in fact, holding to the next show starts. So don't ask me where I've been.
Oh, jeez. All right. We got to get to it, or we got to?
Yeah. Let's get to it. First, I'm in complete agreement with you. I mean, we hold a lot of stars accountable. When Jalen was actually doing well, there were still people who were holding him accountable for things that really didn't matter because he still won the game. Yet the pandering chief gets up there and everybody handles him with kid gloves. I appreciate when people step up and say, look, Bryce, you're not even living up to your freaking trading card right now, okay? Well, we love you. You're a great guy. We've got some great hopes for you, but it's about time that you start delivering on that. It's about time because, you know, I'm a business owner. When I pay employees a great deal of money, I want production. You get a lot of money, brother. Step up to it.
There you go.
Let's not go that far.
Yeah,
Big
well,
B.
yeah.
I'll
just let him cook.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, I'm going to tell you this.
Yes.
I'm a robe guy.
Oh,
well,
you
robe
sound
guy.
Like a robe guy, to be quite honest with you. Yeah.
See, because when I was a newlywed, being a robe guy means that you wear nothing under it. Hello, new wife.
What a moment that was. Hello, new wife. What a weird thing to say.
I will say that's probably the last time that I wore a robe regularly.
What? Was you, when you were on your honeymoon?
In my marriage before the kids were born and around, yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm ordering a robe right now, and I'm going to go get the mail tomorrow on the robe. So,
and don't forget your free blue shoes, brother. Make
well, look, man, I don't know that is a great idea. Big V, what's a great housewarming gift?
Well, someone already took robes, so
okay.
I'd say, you know, paying their mortgage for 6 months.
Well,
who the hell does that?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Pay your mortgage for 6 months. You imagine that?
That's a housewarming gift?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, who does that?
If anyone wants, I just got a new house. If you want to pay the mortgage for 6 months.
Mortgage for 6 months.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, I believe Mets fans are sort of apoplectic about the team. They are unhappy. The noisiest Mets fan we know is the great Sal Licata, host of BT and Sal, middays at WFAN. So we'll talk to Sal about what is going on with the Mets, whether they have lost faith in King Cohen, as Sal Licata called Steve Cohen, their owner. Sal joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.